what they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night, on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EddieExperience1, E in the middle. Eddie and, Cross. And sitting across from me, as almost never, the wrestling encyclopedia himself, Mr. Stu Myrick, host of Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, coming on immediately after us. Stu, how's it going?
I'm good. Actually, it's, yeah, because I never sit across from, because usually it's your show and then my show.
Right.
Now we're just combining. It's going to be one amalgamation of greatness when it comes to combat sports.
It's exactly what it is. Wednesday Warfare, all up in your area.
That's right. That's right.
Man, how was your weekend, Stu?
It was good. I got to hang out with Corey Redding at his barbershop. I was there with the Tailgate Country guys.
Oh, former Texas and what, Detroit Lions defensive end?
Detroit Lions, Colts, Ravens, Cardinals, and there's one more, but it's slipping my mind. But it was good to hang out with them. Did a little pub for NFL Alumni Austin Chapter, which I'm proud to be on the board of directors. And Corey, of course, a proud member of our chapter as well.
Right.
So did that. I went to check out Mark Henry. Had a gumbo smackdown at Wild Magnolias in Pflugerville.
Yeah, I saw your post about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that during my show. Mark can make some pretty decent gumbo.
Yeah?
Yeah.
His wife didn't make it up, cook it up for him?
No, this was his. This was totally his. It was really good. So hung out with Mark and then kind of just enjoyed the weekend, watch Elimination Chamber. You know, catch it up on some other wrestling tidbits from around the world. A little bit of New Japan, because they've got a big card coming up. But that's later. We got to talk some MMA. I did watch the main event. So Nagano and Velasquez and Gano,
yeah.
Saw that.
Yeah. Let me tell you. Jordan texted me. Jordan, he's out west somewhere. I don't know, skiing or doing something.
Doing whatever Jordan does.
Whatever rich guys do.
Yeah.
Yeah. He texted me Sunday night, said this was the worst weekend of fights he's ever seen.
The worst?
The worst. Now, that's a little harsh, but considering it was three events on three consecutive nights.
What is he, like the SCU of MMA?
Maybe, yeah. Hmm? He is very snobbish with his fight watching. But let's start off. We'll go backwards.
Okay.
Sunday night, got UFC Phoenix, what I call the return of Mr. Glass, Cain Velasquez.
Yeah.
Also very timely with the movie.
Right.
Not a bad movie. Yeah.
Very good.
By the way, did you know Austin has a Major League Rugby team?
I did.
I didn't know that.
Absolutely. Because
they play at Dell Diamond.
They play at the Dell Diamond, the home of the Round Rock Express. So having covered the Round Rock Express for so long, I get the emails all the time about the Austin Elite Rugby that's playing there right now, right?
Yeah, yeah. They came on live right after the AAF football.
Right.
And I only watched like 10 minutes of it before I switched to Elimination Chamber and UFC Phoenix. I had the split screen going.
Very nice. Yeah, it was very nice.
One of those things you had to choose, one of those nights.
Absolutely.
So the early part of the card was going head-to-head against the WWE Elimination Chamber, which is actually down in Houston.
Yes.
So that made itself for some people to choose. But, you know, in the early prelims, you got former champ Hinnan Burrell getting knocked out in the second round by Luke Sanders. Never seen Luke Sanders before in my life. But Hinnan Burrell, he's only in his early 30s, mm-hmm. but he's got a ton of miles on him, and he's lost like four fights in a row now.
Mm.
It's just straight downhill. A lot of people will say that his decline started when the UFC drug testing began, or the USADA drug testing began in the UFC.
Yeah.
That's a little unfair because he's never popped.
Right.
But it is coincidence.
It seems coincidental. It's kind of like when the Major League Baseball, when they started testing PEDs and all of a sudden home run count started going down a little bit.
Exactly. Then you move on to the ESPN prelims. So the first two events, first two matches were on ESPN+, the next 10 on ESPN.
So it was a long night of nothing but fights on ESPN, which is a glorious thing for the UFC.
This was the first ESPN broadcast, right?
Well, they've had prelims.
They've had prelims, but yeah. For pay-per-views. But exactly. This was the first fight night on ESPN.
Exactly. UFC on ESPN 1.
Right.
So also headlined by Cain Velasquez, as was UFC on Fox 1.
Huh.
And past was prologue.
I was going to say, there's more than just that similarity, right?
Yeah. Well, before we get to that, let's see. On the prelims, which I don't even know why you call them prelims, because they're all the same thing.
Right.
Aljamain Sterling takes out Jimmy Rivera, pretty much places himself probably second in line for the title behind Marlon Moraes, who knocked him out with a vicious knee a few months ago. Sterling gets on the mic afterwards, calls out Moraes. I don't think Moraes is going to take that fight. For him, it should be nothing but the title next. But there's no telling what the UFC is going to do with the bantamweight title.
And which weight class is this?
135.
135, okay.
Who the champion just lost to the 125-pound champion.
Right, I think I remembered that.
Yeah, and the champ versus champ match.
Right.
So you kind of got a little bit of tainted champion there.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of running it back again against the 125 champion at 135 this time, I say defend your belt against your own weight division.
Makes sense.
Let things shake out how they shake. But what do I know?
Right.
Yeah.
Moving
on to the quote-unquote main card. Andre Feely takes out Miles Jury by unanimous decision, then gets on the mic and tells UFC they don't pay him enough. Vicente Luque and Brian Barberena. This was when it was a knockdown drag-out for almost a full 15 minutes. Barberena, looking like a caveman himself, gets taken out just at the end of the third round. Then you've got Kron, I call him Khal Drogo Gracie, taking on Alex Bruce Leroy Caceres, actual real nickname, Bruce Leroy.
Bruce Leroy, I like that.
And this one, they kind of fed Caceres to the wolves. He's a great striker. He's a fun martial artist to watch, but he is not a ground fighter. And you've got a Gracie, whose grandfather, great-grandfather, basically invented Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Right.
So you know what you're getting with him. Now, Gracie hadn't won a fight in the UFC since 1994, I believe, which is an amazing stat.
25 years?
Yeah. Been that long since a Gracie won a fight in the UFC. Wow. They've got Gracies in Bellator and other places winning fights.
Right.
But not in the UFC. But yeah, Gracie just takes Caceres to the mat, taps him out in 2 minutes. Cynthia Calvillo and Courtney Casey. This one was a pretty good fight in the women's strawweight division. Pretty much went how I thought, despite Courtney Casey being the bigger fighter. Might be better for her to move up. Now, the co-main event. This is actually a co-main event with actual co-main event status. One that could have carried a card by itself.
Okay.
Well, a fight night card. At least not a pay-per-view. Paul Felder, the Irish Dragon, against James, the Texecutioner Vic, fighting out of Fort Worth. And this one, I don't remember if it got fight of the night, but it should have. Felder takes the unanimous decision in 3 rounds. James Vick, he's a friend of the show. Mm-hmm. Actually worked with a girl who's related to his fiance or baby mama or whatever. I forget what she is. I'm going to get in
trouble. Okay.
I'm going to get in trouble by saying that.
Yeah. Let's not get in trouble.
It might be time for him to change up his camp or something. He seems like he was on a fast rise, couldn't get anyone to fight him, got into the top 10. And now he's lost 2 in a row.
It seems like
he's kind of plateaued. Like when the announcers on TV are mentioning the deficits in your game,
right?
You know your opponents have seen it.
Right.
And when they say that your coaches can't break you of this habit, maybe you need better coaches.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the same. Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Because you and I have been at UFC cards together.
Mm-hmm.
Who determines what the fight of the night is? Is that Dana or is there a group?
Dana and the other UFC brass.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there is a group decision.
I would say it's probably a group decision.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes it's probably just Dana by himself.
Right.
Because he's Dana.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's $50,000 to each guy.
Right. Well, that's why I asked, because there's a bonus that goes to fight of the night.
Yeah.
Now, does it go to both or does it just go to
one? It goes to both. And as I think about it, I think the fight of the night was Vicente Luque and Brian Barberena.
Okay.
Like I said, that was 15 minutes of knockdown, drag out. That actually ended with the finish. So I think that was the fight of the night. I didn't write it down. failure on my part. Yeah. Now, moving on to the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Francis Ngannou defeats Cain Velasquez in 26 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, the similarities between this and Velasquez Dos Santos, UFC on Fox 1, it's just too creepy.
It is creepy. I mean, like I said, I watched that fight, and it took longer for Ngannou to go from the just right outside to come into the cage. It took longer for that than the fight itself.
Yeah, and that's what happens with heavyweights sometimes. Because you just have guys that size throwing hands.
The issue that everybody's, and it looked like it, I don't know if that's exactly what happened. It looked like Velasquez's knee gave out. Was that the case?
Well, it did give out after he got hit.
Okay, it was the hit, and then just happened to...
Yeah, a lot of people aren't giving Ngannou the credit he deserves.
Right.
Because he did land, it was kind of a hook uppercut.
Yeah.
It may have even been kind of an open kind of hit, palm of the hand strike.
That's
because
they
were so
like.
Close.
It looked like it was a hit, and then as he's going down, his knee gives out.
Yeah. So if you see it in slow motion, you can see his jaw get jacked and his head snap to the side, and then he falls down and the knee splays, and then he falls down screaming. And that's the part that's really scary, because I've seen people fall like that before. But to see a guy like that screaming when he goes down, that worries you for him.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, Ngannou is not getting the credit he deserves for landing the punch or the heel strike or whatever, or palm strike, whatever it is that landed, that buckled Cain.
Right. I've heard before that Ngannou is, he's not the most popular, I guess that's the best way to put it.
He had a couple of stinkers in a row.
Okay.
But he's literally the heaviest puncher in UFC history. I think Dana White one time compared his power to being hit by a Ford Escort. And if you've seen the Overeem fight, I mean, Overeem's jaw is still rolling down the road somewhere. I mean, he snapped his neck back so far, I thought he was going to get whiplash.
Ouch.
It was one of the greatest visuals you've ever seen, but one of the scariest things you've ever seen, too. But if you look at Ngannou, like I said, not getting the credit he deserves. In his last two fights, he's fought two collegiate high-level wrestlers, and defeated them both by knockout in a total of 71 seconds.
Mm.
A minute and 11 seconds, Curtis Blaydes, November in China, Cain Velasquez this past weekend. I mean, the guy deserves some credit. Now, like I said, he did have some stinkers, and that really soured people on him.
Yeah.
In his last two fights, they haven't had the pretty finishes that he's had before.
Right,
but
yeah.
But they have been clear knockouts. And the dude deserves his credit.
He does. He does.
Now, Cain just seems to be cursed. You know, you put him on main event.
And this is a former champion, right?
What most people call the greatest heavyweight ever.
Right.
You know, it's just a debate between him and Fedor Emelianenko.
Right.
Who was already on the way downhill by the time he got to the U.S. But yeah, he just can't stay healthy. And this one, it looks like, I think he said maybe his MCL. As of this taping, I haven't heard about his ligament damage or meniscus damage or whatever it is yet. Mm-hmm. So that remains to be seen.
I mean, if it's MCL, we're talking, what, 4 to 6 months?
Hoping it's just a sprain, not a tear.
Yeah, if it's a sprain, then it's, you know, considerably less.
Yeah, but he's from a camp that's known for all their injuries, and he, like I said, he's Mr. Glass.
Right.
He hasn't fought in 2 years because of the accumulation of injuries. It took him this long to be able to come back. But then I look at him, and he's never been like the ripped, shredded guy, but he looked a little soft. So it makes me wonder exactly what was going on in the camp.
You know, now that
he said he was completely healthy, but
yeah.
Was he?
Well, he may have been healthy, but maybe been a little too healthy.
Well, and he's known for his cardio. They literally call him Cardio Cain.
Right.
But he came in looking a little, around the midsection.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's gonna play into it, obviously. So it did look like he was, like you said, a little soft in the middle, and it just, I don't know. It wasn't the Cain Velasquez that even someone like me that watches it every now and again, you know, is familiar with.
Yeah, and the weird thing to me was the way that it seemed like his game plan. He came out throwing lots of kicks, which is weird because now you're off balance. You got like 1 foot on the ground. I was expecting a game plan a lot like Brock Lesnar against Mark Hunt, where you're kind of stalking the guy, preparing for that knockout shot, trying to dodge it to be able to get the takedown. And what did he do? He comes out and tries to box.
Yeah.
And kickbox against a guy with the most power I've ever seen.
not the smartest strategy.
Not the best game plan, no. So, yeah, I thought, you know, dance with who brung you.
Yeah.
But, like I said, who am I? I'm just a guy that went apartment hunting Saturday.
Right. So.
Yeah. Let's see. Moving on to Saturday night.
Yes.
Bellator 216.
Right.
This one had a lot of hype behind it. You got opening bout in the welterweight Grand Prix between two Brits who can't stand each other, Michael Venom Page and Paul Semtex Daly. And it was kind of a stinker.
Yeah. That's too bad.
Paul Daly. Both these guys are kickboxers with lightning in their hands and their feet. And it was just kind of it's one of those things that happens when you're so hyped up for a striking match.
Mm-hmm.
But both guys know what the other guy brings to the table, so they're not as quick
right.
to strike out.
Yeah.
So literally the first round, I think there were 3 strikes landed.
Mm.
The whole thing. And then Paul Daly, who in his last couple fights had been wrestled to the ground and just smothered to the point where he was literally up against the cage booing his opponent to the camera.
Right.
Literally talking crap while getting pounded and booing. All of a sudden, he decides to wrestle.
It's about as
hypocritical as you get.
Yeah.
I mean, like he suddenly realized this was a good strategy against someone who's not known for his wrestling to wrestle. I'm like, yeah, makes tons of sense. But now you just kind of look like an a-hole for all the crap you talked before.
Yeah. That's
And then.
Not smart.
And then he gets reversed a few times by the guy who can't wrestle. And ends up losing the fight because he couldn't hold position. Because I had a 2-2 going into the fifth round. He gets a takedown, doesn't do much damage. Page reverses him and does lots more damage, wins the fifth round. And now he's out.
Yeah, why not go with your strength? Why not go and why go through all that with the, you know, trash talking to the crowd and such if, I don't know. It just,
and I hate to call a fighter scared, but it's like when you're worried about what the other guy brings to the table to the point where you can't execute your game plan. It really says a lot about the other guy.
Absolutely,
but it says a lot about you too.
Yeah.
So we'll see what the future holds. But Michael Venom Page moves on in the welterweight Grand Prix. But when he faces a real serious wrestler,
yeah,
he's going to be in trouble.
That's going to be yeah.
And there are a couple of them in there. I don't have the brackets in front of me to know that who he's got. I think he's got a kickboxer jiu-jitsu fighter next, but I don't know who's after that. In the co-main event, Legends League, Mirko Krokop against Roy Big Country Nelson.
I know those names. I hold it.
Yeah, because they're both in their mid-40s.
Yeah. When did Big Country leave UFC?
It's been a couple of fights now.
Okay.
Yeah. And Krokop is just coming back to the States. He got nailed for PEDs, went over and fought in Japan a few times. Actually won a Grand Prix in Ryzen. Stayed up one, what was it, New Year's night? Saw the end of that.
Okay.
Well, it's kind of fun when they come on at like 3 in the morning over here.
I know the feeling, watching New Japan Pro Wrestling. Same
exactly,
thing.
Yeah. Yeah, the judging Saturday night in Bellator was a little iffy. I mean, this one was at least close. I had Nelson winning.
And where was this card?
Uncasville, Connecticut. At the
Mohegan Sun?
Yes, Mohegan Sun. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. WWE runs there.
Yeah. So. And actually, Friday night was there too.
Okay.
Now, why they put two Brits in Connecticut when just the week before they're in Newcastle, England? It's what Luke Thomas would call promotional malpractice, but that's a whole different story.
Right.
And then in the next fight down, Czech Congo versus former Bellator heavyweight champ Vitaly Minnikov, who never lost the belt, had it stripped for inactivity. I really don't know what the judges were looking at here. Minnikov won that fight hands down, but some judge gave all 3 rounds to Congo. If you were watching this fight, you'd be looking at me just like you're looking at me right now, like, what in the blue hell
yeah.
is going on? And Czech Congo was basically promised a title match if he won this fight.
Right.
Because for some reason he was excluded from the heavyweight Grand Prix, which he should still be upset about, and I'm upset about it for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
But after watching this fight, I can't say that he deserves a title match.
Right.
No, it's really hard to look at after this stinker.
Yeah.
It'd almost be better to give it to Krokop. It would definitely sell better.
It would.
Yeah.
It would.
Maybe put Congo on the undercard in case of an injury or something.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to, you know, take it from him after he's been told he's going to get it, but it's not like the first time. But that was a horrible fight. He did not deserve to win that fight. I know in the books it's a W, but in everyone's eyes, that is no.
It wasn't.
And I like Czech Congo, but that was not it, man.
Mm, that's too bad.
And then we also had former UFC veteran Eric Silva losing a decision in his first Bellator match to Yaroslav Amosov, who Jordan would quickly point out doesn't even have a Wikipedia page.
Okay.
That's how he judges fighters.
Of course.
And also the debut of Valerie Lareda, a Taekwondo master.
Ooh.
She takes out Colby Fletcher by TKO about 3 minutes into the first round. And then I'm just going to barely mention Bellator 215 because it was basically a one-fight card. Heavyweight Matt Mitrione, former UFC vet.
My guy.
Yeah, against Sergey Karatanov.
And how did Matt do?
Matt kicked him square in the nuts.
Way to go, Matt.
At about 15 seconds into the first round.
That's awesome.
Square in the nuts.
Matt's cool dude.
I haven't seen someone react that badly to a nut shot in a long time.
That's funny.
I mean, it was no contest.
Yeah.
The fight just ended.
I get you.
It was to the point where the cage side doctor had to reach into Karatanov's shorts and kind of try to raise up his cup to relieve pressure.
Mm. Ooh.
When you've got another grown man reaching into your cup and he's not telling you to turn your head and cough.
No.
You got some issues.
You got issues.
And I can't blame the guy for just being floored.
Yeah. No, I get you.
I mean, that hurt me to watch.
Yeah.
You know, and if you saw it, it was square.
Oh.
Foot to cup.
Oh.
And the thing is, you know, with the cups, especially if you're wearing a cup, I hope he was.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he was. Depending on how it shifts, your boys could get caught between the plastic and your leg and get crushed. You've seen Karate Kid?
Yes.
Mr. Maggie says squish just like great.
I mean, I'm happy for Matt because I've talked to him 2 times on Radio Road Super Bowl. Great guy.
Well,
but yeah.
He didn't get a win. He got a no contest.
No contest. All right. Well.
And, quick mention. Invicta, former UFC vet Pearl Gonzalez, was going for the vacant flyweight title. But in another weird finish, she pokes Vanessa Porto in the eye so bad that she couldn't finish the fight. So because they were already into the championship rounds, they're up to round 4, they went to the judges' scorecard, and Porto won on the scorecards, basically 4-0. So she wins the vacant Invicta flyweight title.
Congratulations to her.
Yeah. So that was the weekend.
And what a weekend.
Lots going on. Not even to mention that I was split screening UFC Phoenix and WWE Elimination Chamber Sunday night.
We'll talk, and we will talk to my buddy Dave LaGreca.
Yeah.
About that on my show coming up in just a bit.
And before we get into the next weekend, Stu, I know you're looking for a suit.
Yes,
You got some ring announcing to do.
Got some ring announcing.
Lots going on.
Yep.
Take yourself up to the domain.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the Indochino showroom.
Indochino. I like that.
Indochino. Tell them Fight Night ATX sent you.
Okay.
Get $25 off any purchase over $300.
That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, and once they get your measurements in the system, you can just go on their website and order anything new just off the site with your measurements.
Mm.
And then, if you're doing it online, you can stack our coupon, FNATX, on top of any other coupon for the additional $25 off any order over $300.
Nice.
Yeah. So let me tell you. I told you I got one.
Yeah.
It's a dark gray with some burgundy stripes, burgundy checks. Looks good.
Okay.
Get yourself a suit.
I need to.
Yeah.
I need to.
You got to look pretty for your ring announcing.
That's right.
Now, real quick, before I let you guys go and talk about some wrestling, a little bit of news. It was announced just on Tuesday evening. Yeah. Israel Adesanya and Kelvin Gastelum will face off at UFC 236 in April for the interim middleweight title. Now, you know, Robert Whittaker was not able to defend his title against Kelvin Gastelum in Australia because just before the fight, he was diagnosed with a hernia and collapsed bowel.
Oh, that's not fun.
Yeah. And they say 4 to 6 weeks. I'm like, no, 4 to 6 weeks, my butt. You give him time. You get an incision right there. You get kicked one time in the gut. You go down like Brock Lesnar in his diverticulitis.
Yeah.
Let the man heal. Let him take the rest of the year if you have to. Adesanya, Gastelum. It's a great matchup. That'll be April, UFC 236.
Okay.
Now, coming up this weekend, for some reason, everyone's in Europe. Why couldn't they do this the next weekend when I'm on the 311 cruise? Instead, I got to miss UFC 235 featuring two title fights, John Jones and the welterweight title with Tyron Woodley.
Mm-hmm.
I got to miss that because I'm going to be in the Caribbean. But this week, everybody's in Europe.
Sacrifices.
What is this garbage?
I know.
UFC Prague, a.k.a. UFC on ESPN Plus 3. ESPN Plus, number 3.
Right.
Prelims, 10 a.m. Saturday morning on ESPN 2. Main card on ESPN Plus. You've got Jan Błachowicz versus Thiago Santos. The main event winner, likely in line for the next shot of John Jones, provided he wins over Anthony Smith at UFC 235.
Mm-hmm.
Santos has won 7 of his last 8, including his last 3. Jan Błachowicz has won his last 4 at light heavyweight.
Okay.
So, not great big names, but the name that'll carry that both will be John Jones
right.
when it comes to it. And just looking at him, Santos looks like the scarier competitor.
Yeah.
So, visually, might make for a better poster.
Okay.
See if the UFC wants to win that one.
There you go.
And then in the co-main event, you've got Stefan the Skyscraper Struve, another one of Europe's best, taking on Marcos Rogério de Lima at heavyweight. So you've got in the co-main and main, you got two pretty good Europeans against two pretty good Brazilians.
Right.
So that's pretty interesting.
That'd be good.
Yeah. Then John Valente versus Michael Oleksijk, I can't say that right. Liz Carmouche versus Lucy Padilova. John Dodson versus Peter Yan. And at light heavyweight, Magomed Ankalev versus Cleetson Abreu.
Okay.
That's a new one to me. And then Saturday nights over on Bellator on the Paramount Network, undoubtedly tape delayed. You've got James Gallagher headlining in Dublin against Stephen Graham. James Gallagher, a smaller version of... Well, they hate it when he hates it when you say it, but a smaller version of Conor McGregor, an Irishman, talks a lot of noise. But in his last fight, he got KO'd like it was a soft drink commercial.
Really?
Yeah. It was, well, a lot of people enjoyed it because, like I said, the kid talks a lot of crap. Now, he's been backing it up. But unlike McGregor, he's more of a jiu-jitsu guy as opposed to McGregor being a striker. So that is what's going on in MMA this weekend. That is our abbreviated version this week of Fight Night ATX. I've been your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EddieExperience1E in the middle. You can find the show at Fight Night ATX everywhere, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And that's Stu Myrick. You can find him
at Stu Myrick.
There you go. Stay tuned for myself and Stu on Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Right here on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the fights.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.